We have breaks in homework where we can move around or jump or go throw the ball or do something so that he, and I feel like he knows that when he comes back, he has to kick in, and that seems to work. We've been talking a lot about nutrition, and I would not say we're there yet, but we're really talking a lot about what are brain foods and what are not, what foods work for to help him be his best self and what foods don't. And we're struggling there, but we're at least having the conversation.
Yeah, I think it's the time of the year. We had that conversation this week as well. It's, I think my instinct's telling me that this is hibernation time of the year, and so a lot of times we're, like, storing for winter, and we want to eat comfort foods because it's getting colder, and so it's easier to get kind of out of the habit. But if you can find ways to say, okay, you know, I don't, and this is what I ended up saying to my son yesterday. He was hungry at, like, 10 o'clock at night, and I said, as long as you eat something with protein, I don't care what else you grab. And that's the reality is I didn't at that point because he's just going to go to bed. But, you know, it's that finding the compromise of, you know, how can you get them what they need and, you know, even if it's, you know, getting them something that they want in addition to something that they need as a balance. So it's, you know, it's piece of chocolate with some peanut butter or, you know,
right.
Something.
If I could just... If I could just throw something out there, I do a lot of baking, and I hide stuff in there. I'll use protein powder because my daughter is a junk food. Food became a battle, and I really didn't need another battleground in my house. So protein powder has no taste. So when you bake with it, it can be in a chocolate muffin or even a blueberry muffin where, look, you're getting fruit. It's healthy.
That's a really great idea, and I hadn't thought about cooking with protein powder. Maybe you'll have to post a lot of your favorite recipes out on Facebook. I personally would love that because I was thinking I could make, like, power protein cookies with peanuts and protein powder and chocolate.
Right.
You'd have chocolate chip cookies that are big, giant protein. That's good. Thank you.
I've been hiding, like, flaxseed in his oatmeal for years and whatever, but I hadn't thought about protein powder, so...
Yeah, Lori, was that you?
That was Kristen, yeah.
And Lori has the good idea.
Yes.
Lori's the baker.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go back to Jeannie, and then I'm going to jump into our topic. So what do you think is going on with him with a cat, if you got curious?
I think because his brother's not giving him the attention he wants all the time, so he has to bother someone. He wants that stimulation, he wants that attention, and people aren't giving him enough of it, so he tries to find a source to get it, to rile himself up. You know, he just needs something, you know, and he's like the cat, you know, and the cat's the source. And even though I spoke to him about, Ryan, you know, want to work on not bothering your brother as much, and we'll give you a reward, it's not going to work for him. I realize, and I don't know, he's not bothering his brother as much. Well, like I said, he was bothering the cat as much, so I don't know. You know, he's been doing a while, but, you know, when he was doing, like, hanging the cat by his legs and, like, over the banister, I'm like, Ryan, that is just not cool. And then the cat went right under the bed and was so scared of him, and I'm like, this is crazy, Ryan, you need to stop. This is not good.
So if your challenge is that you've got a 12-year-old who wants some attention,
mm-hmm.
How do you solve that?
You give him a lot of attention. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he is always doing something. We give him attention, we play board games, we do something during the week, but this is during the week this is going on, this is during his school week, and then his homework was done, and he wants his brother's attention more than anything else, because I do give him attention. So he wants his brother's attention.
My guess is he's bored. He wants something to do, and bothering the cat is something to do. So,
yeah,
I'm
something to do, and he has some time that he gets to do something online, he gets to do a video game when his homework's done, whatever, but he just needs something to, I don't know, stimulate him even more to get in trouble. I don't know what that's about, really. Maybe you have an answer.
I've got some ideas. Let's talk through the topic today and then see what comes up for you. There's a blog that either I can't remember if I actually wrote it or I wanted to I need to write it, which is about the ADHD brain and stimulation and picking fights. And so my soon-to-be ex-husband consistently would pick a fight with me in the morning, as a way to activate his brain in the morning. Yeah. And he wasn't doing it on purpose. He was literally self-medicating. I mean, it was one of those sort of, okay, if I get my energy up, if I have an argument, I will have enough adrenaline and enough motivation to get myself up and out of bed and going about my day. And it wasn't until I realized that he was doing it to self-medicate and not, you know, because he was trying to pick a fight. You know, it's kind of like, okay, what else can you do to activate your brain right now besides, you know, pick a fight with me? But I think that the ADHD brain does that, and our kids do the same thing, where it's like, if I can create conflict for myself, it'll stimulate, it'll create cortisol, which is, you know, that hormone that gives us lots of energy, immediate energy. And so it may be that, you know, if the cat bites him, he gets that, you know, jolt of whatever, and it's, you know, self-medication of a form.
There's a reason to complain about it. You know, really, he's like, well, the cat did it, so I'm going to bother him. He bothers me, and no, it goes back and forth. It's like, you're starting it. You're instigating. No, he's starting it with me. You know, he's causing me to have trouble. I'm like, he's a cat. You know, he's making me in trouble. Yeah, so it's pretty wild, you know.
Okay. All right, so let's jump into our topic this week. So any other thoughts as we wrap up from, did everybody get a chance to check in? I think I wrote down everybody's name, but I want to make sure. So take a minute before we jump into our topic and take aim. You know, so that's our first step. So what is it that's been going on in your life and your family, either that you've been working on that you want to continue to focus in on or an area that you want to potentially shift to? But take a minute and jot down, you know, what area are you going to take aim on? And if anybody's having a hard time figuring out what to take aim on, let me know and I can help you figure out where you want to focus. We want to get really specific, so it's not just homework. It might be getting started with homework after school, or it might be turning homework in, or it might be keeping their hands to themselves when they're hanging out in the evening with brothers. And so you want to get really specific and take aim. So anybody need help taking aim?
I do have a question. We can pick anything we want to take aim on. It doesn't have to do with the parenting positively.
You know, the magic of this, the theory is, was that Lori? Who was that, Tammy? I'm trying to recognize the voice.
No, this is Teresa.
Teresa, I'm sorry. If you guys could all just tell me who you are before you talk, I know it's hard to remember to do that, but there's somebody on the call, I'm having a hard time tracking voices. So, Teresa, the magic of the parenting action model is that, in theory, you could pick any challenge area and apply the model to it. Because we are picking a particular part of the model of parenting positively, if there's an area that you know that you think that if you could focus on, you know, positive parenting that it could move it forward, go ahead and pick that. We always want you to find one that you think you could you know, hit a home run with instead of one that's going to be really hard, because we get much more motivated by success than we do struggling, if that makes sense. But in theory, you could pick anything.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes. Thanks.
Anybody else need help taking aim?
This is Lori. I think I do need an assist on this, because my problem is, as I've said, my husband is ADD, and he, for most of her life, has been the calmer parent, and I'm implementing skills and seeing change, but I'm very concerned about her anxiety level. And, you know, to ask a kid, what are you anxious about? They're not going to answer you. Would it make sense to really take aim and staying confident in what I'm doing is right? Because I know the trip to the therapist tomorrow is going to be finger pointing at me that I am the cause of all of her anxieties, when in fact I have shifted how I am with her.
Well, I'm wondering, I mean, so here's the thing. I mean, you've got some, quote unquote, work to do to manage your mindset. When you're being accused of being the main, you know, main problem in the environment, it's got to be really uncomfortable. And
it's more than uncomfortable. It's yeah. Maybe, you know, you question your own perception of reality.
Of course you do. And you feel like you're making strides and you're doing the right thing. I mean, I think sometimes in those sorts of situations, what you end up taking aim on is your own self-confidence and your end goal, which is really helping your daughter manage her anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know, my instincts tell me, Lori, that this focus on positive parenting can be something that can help both of you, because it'll help you feel better about, potentially, about how you're handling this situation. And it'll help you hopefully feel more confident in your strategy for addressing it. And I guess that, you know, I would be happy to talk to you more about, you know, the psychologist. So does that give you enough to kind of jump into
yeah.
the conversation about positive parenting? Good. And just, you know, you got to trust your own instincts. And sometimes when you're in that situation, it's easy to feel like your own reality is in question. But sometimes, you know, you just got to rely on what you know is true and what you know is best and do the best you can.
So this is Ellen, and I'm not sure how to take aim on this. So my son is in 10th grade, and most of his homework is submitted online nowadays.
Yep.
So I don't, you know, he tells me he's doing his homework, and he says it's done. And then I get a homework report the next day, and I have taken the approach of not getting angry, but just asking, you know, what happened. But it's been a couple weeks now, and he seems to get, like, one different subject, one a week. And sometimes he'll just be like, well, it's just a mistake. I didn't do something right, or I didn't submit it. But it's always some reason. I'm not sure how to approach it.
Do you think it's a matter of, where do you think it's breaking down? Is it breaking down in the capturing part of it? Is it breaking down in the getting it done part of it? Or is it in breaking down in the, once they've got it, he's got it done, it's the submission process, or don't you know?
I think it's not always the same problem. I think sometimes it's not realizing has it, even though it's on the internet. I think sometimes he does it and then doesn't submit it, and sometimes he just doesn't feel like doing it.
Well, and so I'm wondering whether you're taking aim on helping him put a system in place that assures that he's covered all three of those steps. Is that too big of a chunk for you, or is that a reasonable chunk for you guys to tackle?
It's not. I've asked him if there's, you know, I'm trying to take that coaching, and I've said, you know, what do you think it is? Or, and he's just like, it's just a mistake. People make mistakes. So you're right. So I said, well, how do you think you can change that? And he's like, I don't know. I'll probably make mistakes my whole life. So I said, is there something
yeah.
I can do to help as your coach? And he's like, no. I'm not sure where to go with it, but no, I'm not sure what the next step is to help him. He doesn't want my help, and he's not wanting to do it on his own. He's going to keep getting these. And, of course, my husband says, I don't understand this. And I said, well, there's no consequences, because to him there's got to be some disciplinary action. I said, the consequences are his grade isn't going to be good. He knows that, but
yeah.
he doesn't care enough.
You don't have a parent portal that you can log on to, or an e-backpack that shows you?
Can I interrupt for a second? Because I want to stop before we get to solutioning, and I think that that's a great solution. I want to come back to it if we have mm-hmm. time. But Ellen, I think that that's a really good place to take aim, which is what supports does he need, whether it's a motivator, whether it's a structure, whether it's a different, you know, level of engagement from you. But I think you're talking about helping him to get from, you know, capturing assignments to turning in assignments. And maybe you just pick one class, or maybe you kind of, if you, depending on how inconsistent your teachers are, tackle a couple of classes to get that are really challenging ones.
Yeah, every week is a different subject.
Yeah. So does that give you direction in terms of taking aim? Because we'll jump into the topic. Right. So our topic this week is parenting positively. And I think that, you know, by and large, when I think about kind of the common denominator of the parents who end up in our program, it's parents who have this as an underlying value. You know, we want to be able to be a positive, focused parent. We want to be yelling less. We want to be focused on our child's strengths. We want to be able to give them encouragement. And, you know, more than anything else, our relationship with them is as important as the parenting aspects and the goals that we have for them as kids. And I think that a lot of times what happens in this situation is that we end up with a value conflict, because the part of us who wants our kids to do really well in school and to perform and to be compliant and to be successful. We feel like there's a conflict between that and the part of us that wants to be have fun with our kid and have a great relationship and be that fun mom and that loving mom and that, you know, exciting mom and that, you know, that nice mom, right? Because it's like we're constantly griping at our kids or yelling at our kids or complaining about their behavior. There's this conflict between, you know, we feel like we want them to accomplish, we want them to be accomplished, but we also want to stay connected and loving and kind, and so it creates conflict for us. And what this particular response area gives us is the opportunity to do both. Because the reality is that focusing on your relationship with your child as the first and foremost part can be a fabulous tool to getting the success that you want for your child through the back way. So, you know, we sometimes need that conscious reminder that our relationship with our kid is the most important thing to us. And what this tool enables us to do is to say, instead of, gosh, my kid's not doing his homework, we've got to fix this, it's my child is having a difficult time doing what I expect or that he needs to do or she needs to do, what can I do to support them? So it's really focusing on what the support is that they need in a more gentle way than I've got to fix this. So it's a more, the word I'm going to use is anabolic. And anabolic is a type of energy that's a more productive and motivating energy. Catabolic energy is that intense fight or flight energy. And so a lot of times we parent from fight or flight. It's like, this has to stop. How can you do this? Get it done. You know, just muscle through it. And that's a very intense and powerful way to get things done, but it's also very exhausting. It can stress us out. It can stress our kids out. And so parenting positively is about finding a motivation, a way to motivate your child and inspire your child that's more positive and strength-focused. And the philosophy here is that it's the positive psychology philosophy, that if you focus on the positive, you have more of the positive. And negativity tends to breed more negativity. And so, you know, it's hard not to yell at your kid and then not want to kick your cat. You know, it's kind of the same sort of thing. It all gets connected, and we end up kind of in this black hole of negativity, and it impacts all aspects of our life because quite mostly who we are anywhere is who we are everywhere. So what this challenges us to do is to focus on our kids' strengths and to focus on encouragement rather than criticism. And so the example we use is the you know, that when you're criticizing or correcting your child, you want to watch the ratio of correction to positive comment. And so the thing I've read is that, you know, you have to have like a 3-to-1 ratio to move things forward successfully, like 3 positive to 1 correction. And if you want to have a positive relationship with someone, it has to actually be a 5-to-1 ratio. And that's hard. I don't know about you, but trying to even get to a 2-to-1 ratio where I'm like saying twice as many nice things to my kids as I am correcting them is hard. But it's really important to focus on the positive. And then the other aspect of this is to just take things a little lighter. You know, a lot of times we get really heavy and stuck in what's wrong and what's broken. If we can create some space and we can say, wow, you know, what is working in this situation? So, you know, I think, Ellen, you were talking about the fact that it's never the same class. So if you focus on the ones that did work, you know what, you know, this week he wasn't able to do it in 2 classes, but he was able to do it in 3 classes. Let's pay attention to what did work, and let's focus on that, and let's learn from that and celebrate that, which might give us a tool to then turn around and do it in the classes that were more difficult. So that's parenting positively, focusing on strengths and humor and encouragement rather than criticism. So what comes up for all of you guys as I talk about this?
This is Krista. I have tried this a little bit. I read the book Nurturing the Heart and this whole philosophy around that because I felt like I was like negative Nancy all the time. It was
right.
And so when I have come to that place where I really work with must. So, for example, last night at 10 o'clock at night, we found the paper he didn't claim he had earlier, so that now we have homework we didn't get done at 10 o'clock.
So Miles' response is, I'll just take an F on it. But I have been parenting really positively around his grades and really, like, highlighting when he gets a good grade and highlighting that, see, you can really do it, and I saw that you do it. And he's got all A's and B's now, which is the first time ever. And I tell his my family in front of him, and I tell anybody who will listen, like, he's a really smart, good student. He's having a great year. So we were talking about him missing that, and I said, so I feel like that's an old response, and I think we should do that. So if you would like, I will get up with you at 6 a.m. and we can work on it together. But it's got to be your choice, and you got to be willing to get up. Because I'm not going to be up from 6 to 7 trying to wake you. You know? But I'm willing to do that with you, and I'll get up. We'll make some, you know, hot chocolate and whatever. He did it this morning. He got up. He sat there, and did it. And I feel like if I had responded the old way, which is, why can't you get vacuum paper? You know, which is so, I have enough examples to know it doesn't work.
Right.
It wouldn't have worked, but the fact that I was like, hey, that's not who you are anymore. You're an A student. Like, we don't just take Fs. And so he sort of starts to embody that positiveness and leans into it, you know, because it feels better for him.
Makes sense. Wow. Thanks for sharing that. That's a great example. What about anybody else? What comes up for you?
Well, I have started giving Ellen, my son, $1 for every day that he doesn't get a homework report. And if he does, he has to give me $1. And so it has come, the positive, you know, generally he makes $3 or $4 a week.
Mm-hmm.
He's 16, so money makes a difference to him. We first tried doing it $5 for the whole week, but then I felt that that was not an incentive if he got one report that he would not care about the rest of the week. And it does seem to be helping. He still gets about one a week, but at least it's only one a week. So the positive is trying to give him a positive reward. And I wasn't, and actually he was the one who came up with the consequence of taking away $1, because I was not. And he said, you know, it doesn't seem fair that you're giving me $1 if I do it and not doing anything if I don't do it.
Yeah. Well,
so,
and the thing I love about that is
that
he came up with a balance. Yeah, so I think that, the thing that's important, too, in what you're saying is that, you know, it's about knowing what motivates your child. And most of our kids are more motivated by the carrot than they are by the stick. And so if we can find a way to, you know, positively incent, and I'm not talking about, you know, always giving them money. It doesn't need to be money, although it seems like with a 16-year-old that often works. You know, but if you find something that's a favorable upside for them, that can be really helpful. Thanks for sharing that. Anybody else have thoughts about positive parenting? What works, what doesn't?
Well, this is Tammy. This is a contribution from Impact ADHD, and I don't remember if I read it or if you said it, but the neurobiology of this, and that these kids don't have a just do it button. So I took that and was using myself when I forgot something, or, you know, any signs of executive function weakening, and I was talking with my son about it, and I was like, you know, explaining that I just learned this about, you know, some of our brains don't have the just do it button, and, you know, we got to learn how to activate our brain by pressing that button. And we're actually using that to help him get up, or to help him do something that he doesn't really want to do, and he's really responding, and I think he feels great because he's not so stuck in that inability to shift. So it's been very positive for both of us. So thank you.
I like that.
Great. Anybody else thoughts on positive parenting?
This is Jeannie. Yeah, I just want to share about my older son. that he always tells me, Mom, you know, if you want me to do something, you just need to really say something positive and just praise me. He's like, I work on praise, and he knows that. And I'm like, okay, I have to constantly make sure that I'm positive about what I say. My other son said the same thing. You know, if you do it, say it, you don't follow up with a praise or something like that, it just doesn't work for them. So they know what they need, so I have to constantly remember to praise them. Whatever they do, keep on going, then I have to constantly praise them for what they've done. So, you.
And sometimes it's hard to do it, isn't it, Jeannie?
Yeah, it is. It really is. And my husband's actually a little bit more positive than I am. Well, I deal with him much more because he has ADD and he doesn't even see what I see. So, but to continue to do it all the time for two boys who need that so much, that positive affirmation, Mom, you need to say that, so I will do it on my own. And like, Mom, didn't you see that I took a shower on my own? I brushed my teeth on my own, and you'd even ask me. I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking, okay, it should be automatic at 12 and 15, but it's not. So I always have to remember that part. But, yeah, so I have to always remind myself to be positive because I have a tendency to be more negative, and I know that. So it's hard, but it does work when you do it. I know that.
Yeah, there's a post-it note that sits on my desk that says best intention. And, I always try to remember that the ADDers in my life really want to do well. They want to do their best. They want to be successful. They want to follow through. They want to, be responsible and in good relationship with me and with each other. And if they're not able to, then it's not because they don't want to.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? So one of the things that I do in the positive place is I sometimes try to reflect back his best self to him to remind him of that. Is that manipulative or is that real positive parenting? I couldn't find anything positive about losing your paper till 10 o'clock at night, but I was like, hey, that's not who you are. You're like a top-notch student, and that's not what top-notch students do, particularly. So I don't know.
So what's your goal in sharing that?
That he leans into the good, that he begins to embody that change that we're working on and sees himself in that light. And he's had some really bad teachers that have really sort of created some, this is too hard for you or whatever, or tried to thinking ADHD means I have to dumb it down for him.
Right. So there's this fine line, Krista, in what you're saying between motivating him, and that's the question, is does it motivate him to say, hey, this is who you are, or is it come across as judgmental, right? So it's kind of like because I could say that in a lot of different ways. This is not who you are. You are not this child. You could say it in a real more shaming kind of way.
Right.
I don't know kind of which way it's coming across, but if it's kind of like more of an encouraging, you can do this. I've seen you be successful before. I have every confidence that once you kind of figure this out and figure out what support your brain needs, you can do it. And I think that's an important piece here is that you don't want to mislead your kid into thinking that they can just try harder and do it. Come on, you can do it. You can try harder. Because the reality is that they may not be successful if they just try harder. That's not what it's about. It's really about understanding what supports are that they need. But I guess the answer is it depends, Krista. Does that resonate?
Okay. Yeah, no, it does. I mean, I think I have to be really conscious of that, of both the tone and the setting, whether he's telling me I'm really struggling here and I'm just putting on the cheerleader skirt or whether I'm really helping him.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And the other thing I want to say, because it just kind of popped into my head, was that there was this webinar that we did earlier this year, and it was with Dr. Tom Brown, I think, and he was talking about emotional intensity. And I think that one of the things that a lot of us have spouses who are ADD who get angry and yell, and I think one of you actually was sharing about, a spouse being really angry earlier.
And I talked earlier about the conflict between wanting to positive parent and wanting to have your kids perform. And what happens in the ADD brain, and this is such an aha for me, is that the ADD brain gets hyper-focused on an emotion. And so if we are angry as a non-ADD adult, we are more likely to go, oh, yeah, I'm angry, but I really don't want to yell at my kid because I know that it's not going to help in the long term. And what happens is the ADD brain gets hyper-focused on the anger, and that's literally all it can see. And so it gets locked in, almost like our kids get locked in on Minecraft, right, or whatever the game of the day happens to be. And it's literally hyper-focused. And so the part of us that forgets, the part of us remembers that, you know, we love our kids and we don't want to yell at them, gets shut down by the part of us that's so angry. And so it's important to know that the risk of that is higher if you're ADD, and the risk of that is also higher if you're really stressed out and overwhelmed. And so to just begin to pay attention, the backside of this is, you know, if we are emotionally intense with our kids, a lot of times it's because we're in that hyper-focused place, or our spouse are in that hyper-focused place. So that's just something special. Okay, so we've got about 5 minutes here if we want to do some laser coaching. Is there anybody who has a particular issue they want to dig in a little bit more on?
This is Ellen, and I was talking about my son and how he's, the way his system is, I don't know that he hasn't done his homework till I get the report.
Yeah. So that's a good, so let's jump in a little bit.
It's a zero.
He gets a zero. Okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of times our kids need a structure that includes a zero as a feedback loop. And so I just would start by saying that because it may be that you won't know that something's missing until you get the zero. So the question is, what process does he have in place to make sure he's got everything? And is it working? Which it sounds like it's not. And then the question becomes to him, okay, what process could you put in place? And what help do you need from me? Remind me again, Ellen, your son is how old?
He's 16.
16, right. So this is a point where it's like, He needs some scaffolding, but he wants to own it himself, is my guess. And I don't know your son, but
and that's the thing. He wants to own it himself, even if he gets the zero. And I struggle with that.
Okay. So what's the so what's the consequence of the zero?
And I guess that's what I'm struggling with, because I'm trying to be a positive parent. So for me, and that's what my husband's saying, well, what's his consequence? I said, well, the zero means his grade's going to be lower. To me, that's the consequence, but maybe that's not immediate enough.
Does that motivate him?
So,
okay. So that's your answer, I think, right? So if the zero's not motivating him, then it's about finding the motivator. And it may not be that you have to put punishment in place, but it may be that he needs an incentive or support to know that he can. And I think what happens a lot with our kids is that they get a zero and they're like, why should I bother? They kind of throw their heads up in the air and go into this victim place where it's like,
right,
they feel helpless because they know that it's not, they aren't able to do it, but they don't want to admit that they can't do it. So, you know, it becomes our responsibility to hold them accountable to do something. And so it may be that you say, I don't care what you do, but you need to have a process. And it's, and so try it for a week, see what works. If it's not working, then let's come up with something else. If you're literally helping him brainstorm about what he could do, better keep track of it.
Right.
And then the other thing I would ask Ellen is, does he have accommodations in place so that when he does miss an assignment, he's allowed to turn them in late?
So he goes to a school that's everybody there has some either dyslexia or learning disability or learning difference. So they don't have set different accommodations. What I told him, I said, if you ever wrote your teacher that you were having difficulty, they probably would, you know, respond to you and not give you a zero, but you can't just not do it. So I think itself would, you know, if he wrote them and said, I'm having problems with this, they would not give him a zero. They'd let, but he just doesn't email them. He just,
yeah. Well, so here's my gut, Ellen, is that the no zeros is not, too far down the path for him. And the step before that would be you fix zeros within a certain period of time. You know, so that if today I go in and I see a zero, that he goes back and recovers those quickly.
They won't. The school will not. If he gets a zero, he gets a zero. Doesn't matter if he does it after that.
Got it. Okay. So
that's their thing. If you don't hand it in, you get a zero, and you can't make it up.
Could you maybe work with them so that they're helping you to make him successful?
I can try. I know they just implemented this year because they felt. Because it's a school that really targets kids to go to college, and they're like, this is what it's going to be like in college. So we want them to have the issues here so they see what it does.
So
I could try, but I know this is...
There's no communication. I had asked before, you said they're electronic, and we are as well. There's no parent portal. There's no... We have an Edmodo site that's kind of like a Facebook page for their assignments. There's nothing.
I can see. I can definitely see his assignments, but I don't know if he submitted it.
Perhaps a meeting at the school, because what I hear you saying is the zeros aren't working. So that help the school to understand you're giving him zeros, but it doesn't help him to hand it in the next time, and then from there. Our son has accommodations because it's an executive functioning issue that he's trying to learn how to do. So they prompt him to hand it in, and then once he starts doing, they back off. And if he can do it independently, then good. We got that breakdown taken care of. And if not, they got to continue to prompt. That's like all in his IEP. If he forgets it when he gets home, he has to scan it and send it right away. So that's his consequence to help trigger him that may,
Yeah.
So Ellen, what in that last conversation really resonated for you?
Well, I've been avoiding, he just started at school this year, and they deal with almost every kid has some type of executive function. So I kind of felt like they were like experts in it, and I was trying to back off. But I do think it's worth having a conversation with him, with them, and maybe with him, the three of us, because that's what their role is, try to, I think the three of us together, the school, me, and him, to say, if there's something you're not understanding in this process, or I've said to him, look, I'll look at it with you that night and make sure that you know everything you have. And he's like, no, I don't want you to do that.
Well, and so this is the thing, is that he's got to find a way to support himself, because this is an executive function problem. So he's thinking he's turning it, and he's not, or he's, there's some place in the process that he's breaking it down. And so whether it's a check system that he can use, whether it's a like they said, a note from a connection with the teacher, so that the next day the teacher's looking on their side to make sure that it's in, and they're verbally saying, hey, I noticed that you didn't turn yours in it last night. Do you have it? Do you need to send it to me tonight? That's something to shore them up,
right,
to help him to fill in the gap. And I think that's the piece of it, is that, if you're holding him accountable for having something that's going to help him to do it, it's not okay to just say, I got it, Mom. He needs to,
right,
do something different. And so you say, I don't feel strongly about what you do, but I want you to try something different each week and tell me what you're going to try so that I can help you. And here's some ideas of what you might do. And then you're holding him accountable to try something rather than holding him accountable for not getting zeros, which is a different approach. How does that feel?
Yeah, I can definitely try that.
Okay, and then
this is Lori. I'm just kind of surprised that if a school specializes in children with different learning styles, that he's not the first child that they've encountered with this. So if you're going to give a zero,
he tells me
he's
like not one of the worst. He tells me, there's lots of these reports.
I just feel like they're responsible for then teaching a skill or implementing something for him, and that's why a meeting would probably be important to have accountability on that end as well.
Right. Yeah. Okay, great, great feedback, great comments, everybody. Thank you so much. Okay, we've got about 5 minutes left, so I want to do our wrap-up. We've had a lot of good conversation today, but at the end of each call, we want to focus back in on turning the information into action. So the four questions are on page 19 of your workbook. And they are, what did I focus on? What did I pay most attention to today? What kind of stood out the most? And then what's my clarity? What's my takeaway? What was the big aha I had from that conversation? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And then how do I set myself up for success with this action? Take a minute and just make a few notes on that. Anybody wants to share?
Yeah.
We close off our call. We'd love to hear. I just say I would go a few minutes over here, so because I know we started late with the call-in problem. I'd love to hear from more than just a couple of you. Teresa,
yeah.
Can I call on you? You've been a little quiet.
Sure. Actually, all the listening was good because we do have some of the same issues with my son, so I actually learned a lot from other people. But what my aim is just for me to stay positive and to see the positive when my son is struggling, whether it's with homework or with, you know, just kind of keeping his emotions under control or getting along with his siblings or whatever the issue is. Like, I just, for me to stay positive, and I really liked what, I can't remember who it was, but somebody shared that their sons had told her, you know, if you would just, you know, say something positive, you know, when you ask us to do something, and then make sure that when we do something, you notice it and that you praise us for it, or at the very least, like, you know, just say, oh, you know, you took a shower on your own, I didn't even have to ask you, great job. Like, that just really resonated with me, because I do have that tendency that when things are going well, I'm just, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, okay, he took a shower, great, now we can move on to this. But I don't always verbalize that. So that's kind of what I'm taking away, and what I'm really going to focus on is just trying to just be more mindful of what he is doing well, and making sure that I let him know that I see that and I'm grateful for it, and, you know, that it is good.
Awesome. Thanks. Appreciate that, Teresa. Anybody else want to share their takeaway or their action commitment?
Well, I just thought it was really awareness that I had never thought about, is, you know, the bickering and arguments actually activating the brain and being a self-medication. So that just gives me a whole new perspective that I think will be beneficial to everyone in our family. So thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. Anybody else?
This, Krista, I had two sort of ahas that using what someone said about the just do it button, you know, and using that as sort of this humor light moment. And also I was really struck by this hyper-focus on an emotion, and I've seen it. And I have learned it very well from him as well, where we both hyper-focus on our particular emotion and how to break that cycle. So I want to just think a little bit about that when that happens, how to de-escalate.
Right.
Well, this is more of a...
Anybody else? So, just wanted to remind everybody there was an email that went out last week about the PSS VIP program, and we do have a special going on until the end of the month. So if you're feeling like you need a little extra support, would love for you to schedule some time to talk to Elaine or I. In fact, if you guys want to stay on after, if somebody wants to stay on afterwards and get on, I've got access to both of our calendars, so you could do that. But would encourage you to kind of find out more about what it, you know, what it would be about like to get someone. I know some of you on the call have already done some one-on-one coaching and have really gotten a lot out of it. So if you're interested in exploring that, happy to stand and talk to you for a minute and get you scheduled, or please reach out and schedule some time with either Elaine or I. With that, so the next chapter is probably Shifting Expectations, right? So that's
what is it?
Shifting Expectations.
Okay.
And we are meeting again in 2 weeks on November 4th. My mom's birthday. We'll have to wish my mom a happy birthday. All right, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
Bye. Okay, you too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Lori, are you still there? Oh, no. It's off. Okay.